around the world.
Get over here, little feller. You have to be afraid.
Y'all know me.
Cool it.
So.
Is that Jerry screaming? Oh, that's Jerry. Okay. Jerry Zagoda, welcome to the show. First question out of the hole. Do you have someone that you talk to on your right or left shoulder that you would consider just you talking to yourself? Or is it like a real person that you kind of talk to?
Depends on the time of day.
Jeez, I didn't expect that. That's a strange answer.
So Jerry Zagoda from the Star Tribune, the beat writer for the Minnesota Timberwolves, all over the coverage for tonight's NBA draft lottery. A friend of yours, a coworker of yours named Chip Scoggins at the Star Tribune said, Cat.
Jeez.
Cat, who we're now calling Carlito, has an imaginary friend named Carlito. Is that something that, is that a joke? Is that like maybe what... Calipari just kind of joked and said, you know, you're always talking to yourself. You must have an imaginary friend. We're going to call him Carlito. Or does he really have an imaginary friend that he calls Carlito?
I don't know. He wasn't in Chicago, so I didn't get a chance to ask him that. But, I mean, Jimmy Stewart had a 6-foot rabbit. So yeah,
of course,
that.
Of course. Of course he did. And why Carlito? I mean, I'm the coach's name, or is that somewhat part of a... I don't get this. No, I don't get any of this. Where'd this come from?
Right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't get it. It's just, I think we should worry about this a little bit before we get all hasty and we somehow find our way into the number one position to be able to draft first. I think we probably should reconsider Cat. Probably just go with Okafor.
I don't think so, because Jerry Zagoda, you wrote at the Star Tribune, your top five picks for the NBA. In the draft, obviously the draft not tonight, just the lottery, but Cat being a Kentucky freshman, 6'11" center. And you said once slightly obscured by all his team's other talents, he didn't play a lot because the Kentucky team absolutely stocked. His late season plays made him a near consensus top pick because of his defensive and shot blocking potential, as well as his mid-range or better shooting ability. He's hands down. I mean, the Minnesota Timberwolves, if they get number one, I would think right now that they would come out and say, you know what, we're going to take that guy.
No, they'll take the other guy. Unless they change their mind.
Why will they take the other guy?
Gee, that's weird.
I know we talked about this yesterday, but what you said right there, his defensive and shot-blocking potential, mid-range shooting ability, is exactly what the Minnesota Timberwolves need. They already have a guy that can be down low and score in Peck if he ever stays healthy.
Never will.
They need some sort of defense to go with Ricky Rubio and Andrew Wiggins.
You can't be making your picks based on Pekovic or on need. And that's the one surefire way to make a huge mistake. So, I mean, if they would take Okafor first, it's because they think he has a rare talent, that he's a guy that comes along once in a generation, that, you know, teams are going to have to send 2 and 3 guys at the stop, that it's going to create, open the floor for everybody else because, you know, he's 19 years old. He's already got that footwork that, you know, I hate to, you know, we talked about it yesterday, but I think Flip sees him as a modern day Duncan. So
that's incredible.
Yeah. You know,
I think that's it. Did you see him as being that kind of player, Jerry, watching him through the tournament or just through this one season with Duke?
Yeah, I mean, 6 weeks ago, you guys were gushing over the guy.
Well,
I wasn't.
You were too.
Ben was hating on him, and he wanted Cat, and I wanted Dog, and
why wouldn't you mention his name?
I wanted Dog.
He didn't want to jinx it. I didn't want to jinx Cat, but I've been Cat before everybody else was Cat. And so one thing that really frustrates me about the Minnesota Timberwolves in the past, and why I feel like they're overthinking the situation, and obviously the draft is until June 25th, but when you say Jerry Zagoda, and everybody else is saying that Cat from Kentucky is the near consensus top pick, however, Okafor is probably number one on the Wolves draft board, that's going to make me kick myself, because it's just going to go back and remind me when DeMarcus Cousins was there and was one of those guys where he might be a consensus, you know, low post scorer. He's going to be a great professional 10-15 years in the league, but the Timberwolves took Wes Johnson. So it's flashbacks for me. That's why I get so fired up about this.
Well, how many times has the number one guy been the best guy in the draft or his consensus? I mean, just because everyone else thinks he's number one doesn't mean he's going to be the best. I mean, you know, if people get bummed out today, if they're third and fourth, they might get the best player out of the draft at 3 or 4 in this draft, you know, 3 or 5 years down the line. D'Angelo Russell might turn out to be the most impactful player in it. Porzingis might end up being the best player out of it. I mean, you go for the odds and you think these two are the guys, but this certainly isn't a two-player draft, and it certainly isn't a one-player draft. I mean, yeah, I think either way, I think you're going to get a pretty good player. I don't think either one of them is going to be a bust. It's just a question of, what you want, and if you think that is Okafor that rare, that much better at what the one or two things he does really well than a guy who's better defensively and shoots the ball better from a little distance.
I think it's a crapshoot, just like the NFL. I mean, on those first two guys, to bank on them being everything and being surefire, guarantees, it never works like that. I mean,
you're probably better off, the way the game has changed. I mean, if you're playing the odds, no one will do it and take first, but you're probably better off, taking a guard. Those guys have less foot problems and ankle problems.
That's
and
true. Yep.
They're not supporting all that weight. If you're talking long term, I mean, all of it, like you said, is a crapshoot. You could draft Anthony Towns and invade the fifth bone on his foot, and
right.
Happens to big guys, and they fight it all their careers.
What about you
don't know.
Greg Odoms Odin? That's right, from Ohio State. Yeah, with Portland. I mean that was his case too. The bigger guys do have the ankles, the feet, the knee issues because of the hardwood, just running up and down. I think that this is a deeper draft, Jerry, and correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like it's a deeper draft. People talk about it as if though there are more players to be had. Normally it's down to like three of every year, but this one seems to be four or five deep.
Well, there's probably six. I mean, there's different tiers of guys. But, overall, there's probably six or seven pretty good guys. At four, they're going to get somebody that, I think they probably have five guys in their mind. They're going to get one of those guys at four at the very worst. So, the pain of all the season was worth it for the fact that, even if they don't get lucky tonight, the worst they can do is four. And, unlikely either of those big guys, certainly Towns would drop to them at four, but you could get a Russell at four. Or then you got to start thinking about, the kid who grew up in Dallas, played in China, Moutier. What do you think of him?
Right.
Or the big kid from Latvia, who's almost 7'2" and is skinny, but at four they're going to have some choices too. So we'll see. I mean, the best play. I may have talked about this yesterday, but the best, easiest place for anybody in this draft, unless you desperately need a guard, is two. You just take whoever's left, and you and I can make that pick.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Also in the Star Tribune, I'm not sure if you wrote this or not, but charting the Wolves' history of dropping in the NBA draft, there were four notable falls. Back in 1992, they had the worst record, 15-67. They ended up drafting number three. That's how they landed Christian Laettner, when really there were Shaquille O'Neal and Alonzo Mourning, and they missed out on that one. Then in 1993, they had the second worst record. They ended up drafting number five and drafted Isaiah Ryder, missing out on Chris Webber and Penny Hardaway, Jamal Mashburn. In 2010, they had the second worst record again. They drafted number four. They took Wes Johnson. We've talked about this a bunch. When Evan Turner, John Wall, Derek Favors went in front of the Timberwolves, they could have drafted DeMarcus Cousins. That's what I was jumping up and down in my seat, thinking, oh, my God, he fell. Even though he had those problems, they ended up drafting Wes Johnson. He's one of those Timberwolves that I hated, right up there with Corey Brewer and Anthony Bennett right now. And then 2011, worst record, 17-65. They ended up drafting number two. It was really a one-player draft with Kyrie Irving, and they ended up taking Derek Williams, who was one of those tweeners. I hate tweeners as well, with Randy Foy and all these guys that have been along the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they ended up missing out on guys like Klay Thompson, who went number 11 overall, Kawhi Leonard, who went number 15. But those mid-tier first rounders are hard to pick. But it seems like the Timberwolves always get screwed. So I'm figuring out that tonight we're going to get the number fourth draft pick.
Well, I'm thinking three. That's if that's your standards. And the two big guys are who you want, then three is probably the court where they end up.
Of course.
Even though you still get you still get your pick of the two guards probably. But you can argue whether bad luck has cursed them, or just making bad choices, or not developing
both.
Those guys.
So, both, I think. Why does the NBA, and we're talking to Jerry Zagota, the beat writer for the Timberwolves from the Star Tribune, why does the NBA have this lottery thing so secretive? I remember growing up, they'd have it like the Powerball, where they would actually come out and they would take out a ball and then they say, okay, number two is going to the Chicago Bulls, number three going to the Timberwolves or whatever. Why is it so secretive now? And how is it, because everybody thinks that it's rigged. So don't you think the NBA would do everything they possibly could to make sure that they're, you know, showing their fans and the media that they're, everything that they're doing is above ground here?
Only people in Minnesota think it's rigged.
But why is it so
and
secretive?
And we have every right to
For one, it's kind of tedious because it isn't just a ball popping out with a logo on it. It's four balls popping out with numbers on it. Then you got to go to this chart and you got to look at who has the combination of the chart. Then you figure out who's got it. And then, you know, say the Wolves win right away. And they draw again. They could draw a Wolves combination again. They go, we'll have to do it over. So, you know, sometimes they draw more than three times, four or five times. And I think just the process of doing that, having to look at the chart, seeing what the numbers are, I just think they think that's too tedious and boring. And you know, if people get all upset tonight, like, you know, if they get upset because everyone in Minnesota is predicting Knicks and Lakers, you know, well, the Knicks have about as much business getting the number one pick as the Wolves did for as lousy as they were last year, and the Lakers aren't far off. So, you know, if that does happen,
whose side are you on anyway, Jerry?
Huh?
I need you to be on my side to lift my spirits a little bit because I'm kind of down in the dumps and worried about what's happening.
I live enough in my life with a martyr complex. I don't need this one with the rest of everybody else in Minnesota over the lottery, you know?
Well, all I can say, and I wasn't even aware of all this other combination drawing and some sort of an equation now. I had no idea this was going on.
There's a big chart, and it has... You have like the 1,000 combinations that could be the Wolves have 250 of them.
Okay.
And then the New York Knicks have 199 of them. But people have been in the room and tell me, you know, you can kind of figure out when the first balls come up. You can look on the chart and say, hey, it's in this grouping. You know, you don't know for sure, but you know, you can tell, oh, we're out or we're maybe in. And then it just evolves. I think they pick four numbers. That's how it lines up on the chart. And that's how they determine it. But, you know, each team has a representative back there. And I know people in the media who've been in it who swear to me there's no way you can rig it. So,
interesting. I had no idea that went on. I really didn't know there was that much drawing. I guess I'll live by taking your chances tonight.
Well,
go off what Jerry's saying.
I trust Jerry with my life.
Of course,
so
I do,
Jerry's
too.
If Jerry's going to say it, then I believe. Obviously, I believe. But I still, if we get screwed tonight, I'm going to think that it's rigged again.
Well, you're going to get screwed because all the Wolves have never moved up. Well, they can't move up this year, so they're screwed right to start with.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with staying pat at number one. I have no problem with that this year. Just as long as we get one or two, I think I'm okay. I'm just fine. But at the same time, the superstar Mike Morris and I do the NBA draft lottery generator every night around 6:15 or so. We'll do it again tonight one last time. And oftentimes, if the Philadelphia 76ers draft second, they take one of the guards, whether it be D'Angelo Russell or this Madei guy from China. And Jahlil Okafor, the center for Duke, drops to the Minnesota Timberwolves at number three. So it's just kind of how everything kind of falls. But just to be safe, I'd prefer number one or number two. And I think... the Timberwolves, it's their time. Plus, they need somebody to go with the premier rookie of the league, the rookie of the year, Andrew Wiggins. I mean, we're building something here.
Not to mention, I mean, if you go out and get
That's why I think when you look at who they're looking at, I mean, I don't think Flip looks at it and says, hey, we need a defender. I think he looks at it and says, you win with superstars. They got one guy they think is going to be a superstar. I think they look and see... Okafor is a guy, just like Wiggins, that people have been talking about since he was 14. You know, you get the baby fat off of him, you get him to where his body, you know, firms up and he, you know, becomes a man like Love did, you know, after two or three years. He's got, you know, you've seen the pictures of him holding a basketball. He's got those huge hands.
He can hold, I want to say it's 12 or 13 tennis balls in one hand.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge advantage. Kawhi Leonard's the same way. I mean, those guys can just, you know, dominate the ball. He's already a good passer out of the double teams, and he's already got, you know, he does moves, splitting guys and shedding off, you know, two and three defenders. And the guy's 19. You know, the people say Towns has a big upside. Well, you don't know what the upside on a guy like this can be. You know, the upside isn't just, you know, developing your offensive game. If they get him better at shooting free throws and get him to play, you know, he'll never be a great shot blocker, but like DeMarcus Cousins and other guys, you know, you can draw fouls, you can – draw charges and become a better defender. So if he improves in that area, what's that not to say that, you know, he's improving his upside as well. So
there it is. Jerry, thank you very much.
Love
I think
you,
it's also a nice deal to know that if you take Cat, you get two guys with one. And so we actually get a built-in coach for Cat named Carlito. So
Minnesota fans think that you should get two for one, that you should automatically then, you know,
Tyus.
Trade up and get Tyus. Tyus Jones and get the two for one deal.
I completely
Perfect.
Agree.
Perfect.
I think
I'll
the Timberwolves should do whatever they can, especially with the fact that what happened with KG. The Timberwolves aren't going to win a championship next year, but they need butts in the seats. And for marketability, I think it would be a win-win for them, and they should do it. But anyway, Jerry Zagota, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again tomorrow in the aftermath, and we'll either be, or I don't know about, I can't speak for the superstar, but I'll either be incredibly depressed or I'll be hooting and hollering.
Tomorrow, I'm just going to mess you guys up. I'm going to refer to everybody that we talk about by their initials. Tomorrow.
Okay, perfect.
Wow, don't do that. See, that's childish. All right, Jerry. Jerry's a go to everybody.
Love you, Jerry Barrett.
Star
Thank
Tribune,
you.
Beat writer, Minnesota Timberwolves. Up next, a breaking news report.
Well, according to our guy Zach, who I love to death, the extra point rule for 2015 has just changed. Snap for the kick from the 15-yard line. Two-point try stays at 2-yard line, and defense can return the ball for a score.
Okay.
Per Dean Blandino. The extra point rule for 2015 for the NFL has just changed. Snap the kick from the 15-yard line. Again, two-point try stays the same at the 2-yard line, and defense can return the ball for a score.
Well, nothing like changing something that's already just right. I don't mind. I don't care.
NFL.
I just hate the fact that they're changing something like that. And just leave the game alone.
Yes.
Get the commissioner right.
Finally, on something you and I can agree on.
Yeah. I mean, geez, just snap the damn thing and kick it through, and let's all go tee the ball up and just kick it off. Stupid bastards. Jim Rich is up next. Damn it.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
I want a beer.
Awesome.
Oh, I want a beer.
It's not a tumor.
Oh, I want a beer.
Say hello to my ears, friend.
Love, peace, and happiness.
So the time has come to drop the
What the hell's wrong with him?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Sure as hell isn't. Jim Rich, by the way, everybody, Fox 9's very own Jim Rich, a friend of the show.
James!
Jim,
how are you, boys?
We're doing great.
So far, so good.
Fantastic. We got the big lottery coming up tonight, and we come to find out now, on the day of the lottery, that Cat from Kentucky has a friend that lives on his shoulder that he talks to often. His name is Carlito.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Your thoughts?
We're terrified a little bit.
Wow. Well, you know what? Boys, I haven't been reading that stuff because I'm staking out Bud Grant's garage sale. I'm standing in his driveway right now. I'm looking at a 1907 catfish trap that Mr. Grant is going to put on the market tomorrow.
So I have a question for you then, Jim Rich. He has a garage sale, it seems like, every year. Last year was the big blowout. It was like 4 days or something down there in Bloomington.
Yep.
What is there left? What's left there? Is there anything that any Viking fans would want, or is it all like fishing and hunting crap?
Oh, no, there's everything here.
Does he store all this stuff?
He said, how long have you lived here, bud? 38 years?
Bud Grant is standing right there with Jim Rich.
1968, you moved into this house.
That's
so there's
incredible.
A lot of stuff stuffed in this house. He said he went into closets he didn't even know were in the house to find stuff.
What about the fact that I thought he said last year was the big blowout?
Well, like I said, more closets, and people keep giving him stuff.
Jim, here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to put Mr. Grant on the phone right now and let him tell us what the top five items are for sale at his garage sale. And we'll put that out there on the air for everybody. And anyone that wants to swing by can pick up one of those top five items. And if Bud has three or four, like three favorite things that he wants to mention, can we get him to do that?
Let me see. I asked him previously, and he wasn't. He felt the TV live shot was enough to promote business for tomorrow.
Not
by
necessarily.
The way, he wants cash. Yeah. Cash.
Okay.
Bring right. cash.
Does it well?
Do you know a person by the name of Mike Morris? Would you like? He's the guy on the radio. Would you like to say hi to him? He said no. He knows who you are, Mike.
See, that's the way it is right there. That's the way
here,
it is.
He'll say hi to you.
Okay. Okay.
Hi, Mike.
Coach Grant, how are you doing?
Well, a beautiful day. We're just getting ready for our grass sale here. Yeah, we're getting a break in the weather. Not even many mosquitoes out yet.
Coach, what are the top three things there on one of your tables? Give us your three favorite things that if someone was to go by the Bud Grant garage sale, what would you be excited to sell them?
Well, you know, if I had three favorite things, they wouldn't be in my garage sale.
Okay. Well, you must. Well, don't sell the Mike Morris long snapper jersey, Coach. I mean, keep that for your own your own keeping.
You know, that's hanging up behind the furnace somewhere.
Come on, Coach. That's just not funny. That is not good. Long snappers are important.
Down behind the furnace. That's where I'll go see if I can dig it out.
Oh, okay. All right. Coach, you're the best in the business, man. What is down there that's interesting, though? I know that you had the big sale last year.
I've got a lot of outdoor stuff, not just football stuff. I mean, I got football stuff, but I think from decoys to guns to clothing, outdoor stuff is in addition to all the old and new and worn out Viking stuff. So there's something for everybody. If you want to come here, I mean, there's you'll find something that you'll pique your interest.
Coach Grant, it's Ben Holson. You must have a lot of room in your basement or something, because I remember last year's garage sale, you had it all over your yard and such big things that you were selling. Where do you find room for all of this stuff?
Well, I'll tell you, I got a house that's a rectangle, and I bought it with the idea that it's got 8 bedrooms.
Okay.
I have 6 children. And I wanted every kid to have a bedroom, so that's why I bought this house. I've been in it ever since. So as they leave and take their stuff, I fill it with other stuff.
It just fills up with more stuff. That's
so
the best.
I've got a lot of storage space, and now I decided, we're going to have to reduce the inventory, and that's why we're having these garage sales. And it's, also I have 19 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, they all live within 30 minutes of my house, so it's under my name, but it's actually a family sale.
Oh, that sounds great, though. I mean, how cool is that? That many, the grandkids, the great-grandkids, all still living right here in the local area. That must be a fascinating time. Every holiday, every Christmas, I'm sure it must be.
Well,
a great time.
Every day. What do you mean? Every day. The doors never lock.
It's true.
They come and go.
I'm surprised though. I'm surprised it's not locked.
The kids' activities nowadays are, there's something going on all the time. So I'll tell you what it does. It keeps them young.
And we're
you're living in their world, not yours.
That's true.
Talking to legendary head coach for the Minnesota Vikings, Bud Grant. And I found it interesting because I think you told Bob Sansevier earlier today that you joined Twitter and you already have it. I mean, just exploded. You joined the other day, have 5,600 followers, and you just did it to promote your garage sale. And you're going to leave Twitter as soon as the garage sale's over.
Well, I'm not a Twitterer, if that's the right term. I found out that WANADs, people don't read WANADs. We used to advertise in the paper, and that was good enough. But if you look at the WANADs nowadays, it's a one-page item. So we had to get the word out, and now, social media, Twitter's the top way to get it out. Now, that's, a reason we were on Twitter right now.
Well, Coach Grant, thank you so much for your time. Hold, if you'll take the catfish trap and hold that for me, I'll swing by and grab that.
And, I didn't tell you the price, did I?
No, I guess not. Maybe you should tell me what that was before I swing by.
Yeah, I better tell you what that's. This is a $200 item, so you better.
Oh.
But it's an old handmade trap, and you can use it for decorations or trap catfish if you want to go to Iowa.
Well, I'll be down in Iowa, and I'll put it in the Sheraton River and doggone catch a great big old. I don't have to go noodling that way. I don't have to go hand pick them anymore.
It comes with a guarantee, by the way, also.
All right, then. That's mine. I'm going to swing by and grab it, and we'll see what happens. Coach, thanks for your time and being such a good sport. Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Bud Grant, everybody. How about that?
Yeah, that's awesome. You suppose he's going to put Jim Rich back in the phone or just hang up on us?
I'll say he'll probably hang up. Did he hang up?
He hung up.
It happens.
I miss Jim, though. I want to talk to Jim Rich
more. How good is Jim? To get us
Jim's the best.
To get us someone like that, he takes his own time that he has on this show that he saves and puts off to the side to come on and be the friend of the show that he is. And I say, Jim, I hear Coach Grant's voice in the background because he's at Coach Grant's garage sale. Put him on the phone. And Jim walks over there and gets me Bud Grant just like that. Bang. You can't make it up. And then Bud Grant, the legendary coach that he is, Hall of Famer, in not only this league, but I think the CFL as well, and in college football, makes fun of my jersey.
As he should. Why does everybody make fun of you?
I don't know.
I think it's because you dish it out, and so they feel like, you're dishing out the crap.
Sure.
We got to give it back to the superstar.
I think that's most of it.
Yeah.
That's probably most of it. I like to horse around with people. And I don't mind. And yes, I would go over there and take a picture of the jersey hanging up behind the furnace. Damn it.
You think it's real?
He doesn't have one of my jerseys. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I'm surprised he knew who I was. But he said Iowa.
Yeah.
You like that one?
Yeah.
He knows where I'm from.
Yeah, I know he does.
So I've talked with him a lot, but I'm still surprised he remembers me. So we don't have Jim Rich. We may as well keep moving on, I guess.
Yeah, we got to go.
We go from one great thing, which was that conversation, Bud Grant himself, talking from his garage sale, to Mike Verdino. We like to call that a 180. Hardball for all you seam heads. Next.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in their head it is, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I mean, that's all I used to say. And they never did. Not once. And, of course, my jersey has been banned. And the few that are still in existence, one of them hangs very proudly behind the furnace of Bud Grant's home downstairs, apparently. That's what Coach Grant tells us. Mike Berardino, you know what a catfish trap is?
I do. Don't mess with that.
I'm not going to.
But I'm going to use the Google to check it out.
Well, Bud Grant.
Did it happen to Ben?
Yes.
Well,
my third leg caught in the catfish trap. It's not good. I'm trying to get it out right now, but there's blood everywhere.
Ooh. Ben now dating Manti Te'o's ex.
Yeah.
Well, I told him to use a leg kick, and he didn't do it.
Yeah.
You love that.
Of course.
It's kind of like a Chinese finger trap.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
It kind of looks like a Chinese finger trap, much bigger, though. Those damn catfish. Yeah. People eat catfish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, they do.
Not like regular people, right? Like Southerners that don't know anything better?
You ever seen a walking catfish? I have.
What?
We had those in Florida. Yeah, those are real.
What? Walking catfish. I mean, you're starting to sound like Cat from Kentucky. Are you serious? I mean, explain that.
Walking catfish right here. Here's Google. Boom.
What? Wait, we're looking at it right now. Oh, my God.
We did not eat them, but they were the damnedest thing. I grew up on a horse farm in South Florida.
Really?
After a big rainstorm or something, you'd have to like drive the truck around the walking catfish. It was crazy.
What?
That was a long time ago, but I think they still have them.
I don't like that.
Crazy. So I'm guessing they come up on land for a bit, and then they go back in the water. Is that what the deal is?
Yeah. They can walk. They're walking catfish.
I see that right here, and I don't appreciate that very much.
It's ridiculous.
I would prefer they go back into the water or eaten by an alligator like I'm seeing in this picture on the Google right now.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I did not expect Mike Berardino to report back on catfish.
You really, if you're going to be doing a lot of Googling, you really should be simulcast on television. When's that going to happen?
Well, anytime. It won't be that much farther down the road. I'm sure we're going to get something done. I doubt very much. I need to know from you what is happening with the Minnesota Twins. And I want to know. I want to know if it's good or bad or something in between.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a synopsis. Just so everybody who might have looked at Twitter and seen that Danny Santana is back in the leadoff spot with his 270 on base percentage. Don't be alarmed. Paul Mueller has not lost his faculties. He's doing this only because it's interleague play and they don't have the DH, and he wanted to have a little more meat in the middle of the order, so he's pushing Torrey Hunter. Has got some sock. He's pushing him down to five in the order. Dozier moves down one slot to two. This is a little tricky, and Santana will lead off. This is also because the number eight slot in a National League-style batting order with the pitcher ninth, typically, that's tricky. That's where Shane Robinson will be today because he's done it before. You get pitched around. There's some more. There's added duties. If you get on base with two outs, you're not supposed to steal. They don't want to overload Santana, so they're going to lead him off with his 270 on base, and it's just 2 days.
Incredible. That's incredible. And now, what is sock? I mean, you just said that about Torrey Hunter. Explain what that is.
Yeah, I have to Google that, too.
Is it like a walking, like...
Can you just tell us with your words?
That?
Can you just use your words, please?
Alex Sock Alexis, you never heard of
not.
Sock? You hit the ball really hard, you socked it.
Okay. I thought it was like an acronym for something in baseball, like some way of quantifying what Torrey Hunter was doing in okay. Because it is that way often when we talk to you, and you have a different sort of abbreviation for okay.
Yeah.
Sock.
I had to come over there and sock you right now.
By the way, leg kicks are very common. This idea that somehow our man Brandon Warren has like blown the lid off of this leg kick controversy. I listened to it yesterday. It was just delightful. How you guys are you're just amazed by this idea that there's a leg kick going on in the Twins lineup. I know you like the term, but it's really common. It is really common.
Of course, it's common. I'm surprised he didn't do it in the first place. I mean, how do you bat without really a leg kick? Well, maybe that was his problem.
There you go. Well, it seems to be working. Thing too is, I do not want to talk. I'd much rather talk about walking catfish than hitting mechanics. But even if you don't lift your front foot at all and just slide it along the ground or have to take a small step, you're always going back to go forward as a hitter. You're always loading and going forward. So this idea that Aaron's more prepared, Aaron told Brandon, he's more prepared to hit, or he's more aggressive because he's actually, going back. He should have been going back all the time, because if you just stand still and somebody throws 95 at you, you're not going to be able to do anything with it. You're gonna look like Chris Parmalee always used to look like it with two strikes.
Exactly.
You're gonna be flat footed and you're gonna be out.
Yeah, I don't know how you can generate any force or any application of force on the baseball if you're not generating some forward motion.
You go back to go forward, and it's a timing aspect. Everybody in baseball has timing. Some like the leg kick. I think more and more guys do. There's a great video right now of Giancarlo Stanton working off a tee and really exaggerating his leg kick. He lifts it up above his waist. He has a leg kick as well, and many, many do. But that's a good way to get your timing, and he just it's so easy for him, and he's just destroying the ball. And it's I think I put it on Facebook. It's pretty exciting. Anything else?
Yeah. My question for you, Mike Berardino from the Twin City for TwinCities.com and the Pioneer Press. Brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Who has your favorite leg kick of all time? I'll go back and remember from my childhood. I love Eric Davis from the Cincinnati Reds, and I also love Ruben Sierra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard you mention Ruben Sierra yesterday. He should have been Hall of Famer, but he had off-field proclivities.
I think a cocaine deal.
Very easy for me to say. The best leg kick of all time, that's easy, Sadaharu Oh. Sadaharu Oh, the great Japanese home run champion, had a real exaggerated leg kick. And at the time, nobody ever thought of listener to like that high. But he had it. He'd get the foot down. The other thing is, it's important to get the front foot down, but softly. That's the amazing thing. Because if you just pick your foot up to lift your knee to waist level and then jam your foot into the ground and then try to swing a bat, that's not going to work either. So... take it from a guy who tried to give his son a leg kick in baseball in youth sports. It's not easy to teach, And it's not for everybody, but it certainly is for the superstar because he just loves to say leg kick.
That's all I want. That's all I care about. Yeah. And there's a bug stomp that goes on with the back foot. And, of course, you're supposed to throw the handle of the baseball bat at the ball. Anyone knows that.
The Sadaharu O leg kick, it seems pretty subdued. I was hoping.
I think Pete Rose had the most pronounced leg kick I think I've ever
seen. Is it because Sadaharu O just keeps his leg up in the air until he swings? Is that the deal?
I don't know. He's a very old man now. But when he was at his prime, there was a lot of it required a lot of timing, and it was definitely a leg kick, and it was shocking to people. There were investigative teams sent to figure this out, and I think Morley Safer got to the bottom of it.
Oh my God!
Come on.
See now,
it
look,
was not.
That,
now
it
you're
was,
lying.
I was starting to buy into that, and then you went there. You were doing great. You were doing great. Pete Rose had the best leg kick ever, and then maybe Dave Kingman, and then of course the bat thing where you have the rhythm going with the bat. That belonged to Joe Morgan.
Oh, he had the chicken wing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he did there with the flap. Other guys have done that. Craig Council had a great flap, actually. New Brewers manager, very well known for his flap. And we're just going to have to do an entire show on this because it'll send the ratings through the roof.
I'm sure it will. And
people,
you know what?
It's
only going to happen though if you explain it, and that's the problem.
Right,
then you had to bring in Morley Safer. Then you had to bring that in.
Google. I'm pretty sure Morley Safer sat down with Sadaharu and they had a great interview. If you Google all that, you'll find it.
We're gonna find it then. You're the best,
okay.
Mike. Perfect. Thank you for your
time.
You're
right up there with the best. I wouldn't say he's the best, but you're right up there with the best. Mike Berardino, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press, covering the Twins tonight. They're in Pittsburgh playing the Pirates. First of two games. Brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Soupy.
Thank you very much, Mike. And by the way, Mike's break. What the hell? It's going to be something special. We'll go right back to Robert Kraft and talk the talk about him. But first of all, caller number 15. Are the phone lines working?
Yep.
Zach, are the phone lines working? Take caller number 15 at 651-989-9105 right now. Do you understand? Wins four tickets to the Midwest Mopars in the park.
I have to work with this guy every day, Zach.
Yeah, May 30th through 31st at the Dakota County Fairgrounds. So caller number 15.
Right now!
Call Zach. And the number again, 651-989-9105. Come on back, everyone. Mike's break.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. Clean myself properly either.
Well, just stay here. I'll call somebody, or we'll have Zach call somebody. Just do.
Oh man, that's embarrassing.
Just talk about whatever you're gonna talk. I gotta get out of here.
Look, So Ben's gone. I'm sitting here in just a quagmire and an evil tapestry of gas. But I'm going to do the show must go on. That's what they say, right? And so the show must go on. And I'm going to talk to you about Robert Kraft. I said it earlier in the show, but in case you didn't join us earlier, Robert Kraft came out, decided that he would basically not he is not going to go ahead with his appeal. He will take on the $1 million fine. He will pay his dues. The two draft choices, the number one from next year with the New England Patriots and the number four from 2017, he is going to take that on. Goodell, his former friend.
No, now they're best friends again.
He respects
their
him.
They're best friends.
He went on to actually, and by the way,
they
thanks
hugged,
for coming back in here.
Hugged it out. I'm not in, no. That, what, no, no.
Yes.
No, I don't want to be in here. But seriously, they hugged and they shook hands, and I believe Robert Kraft had Roger Goodell over to his house on Saturday. and they talked about it. They made some sort of deal.
Well, that's
Roger
what they
Goodell.
Say.
Roger Goodell probably said, "You know what?" And I can't believe Robert Kraft, with the anger and the vitriol that he had spewing out of every orifice of his body last week, to come back and actually have Roger Goodell say, or for him to say, "You know what, Roger Goodell, we need to make a deal here. How about this? How about you give us Tom Brady just a 2-game suspension, 1 or 2-game suspension, and I'll take the fine." But at the same time, I think it makes Roger Goodell look more in charge today.
I would say
Roger Goodell's in a better position today than he was yesterday because of what Robert Kraft again saving Roger Goodell's butt.
I think Goodell blundered. And I think that Kraft absolutely is helping him out with this. He's like, "Oh, let's just make this whole thing go away." Goofball over here, again, has overstepped his boundaries, is making up stuff again on the fly based on a report that really has no bearing on finding a football team $1 million. But I will incur the damages and the docked players just to make it go away. I mean, that's what he said. So he did essentially, I think, save Goodell's hide on this whole thing.
What does Goodell have on Robert Kraft that he would do that? Or is it just because Robert Kraft can play Roger Goodell like a puppet that he's a... I mean, it's always... When we talk about this all the time off the air, it's the devil you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so you may hate a certain person or despise whoever you have to deal with, but it's like, well, I at least know this devil. And I can at least maybe work with this devil, or we have a working relationship. There's wishful thinking, maybe, to getting another devil in here. Oh, crap, what if this devil does something terrible that you don't know, or you can't control him as much as you can control the devil that you currently have?
Making a deal with the devil. And that's what he's doing.
He's running with the devil.
I mean, it's kind of a devil's dance is what it is. And here's the deal. Brady's going to get off, and he knows that that probably is the biggest thing going. Moving forward, $1 million, I'm guessing, isn't going to be that big a deal for Robert Kraft. The two players that they're going to be losing, the number one draft choice from next year and the number four from 2017, probably not that big a deal either. They'll recover from that. They're the Patriots, and that's just what they do. But having Tom Brady on the field, and I'm guessing that it probably will be reduced because they really don't have enough to suspend a player based on what the Wells report came back with. So 4 games is where it stands now, but because Kraft has, taken the high road like Denny Green kind of and said, "I'll take the fine and everything else," but like you said, but Brady's needs to come back. I think they had to make that deal, and that's the deal with the devil right there.
Supposedly there's no deal, of course, but they're not going to come out to announce that and go, "You know what, I'm Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and Roger Goodell and I have come to a deal." Because the other teams, the fans, sponsorships probably would go, wait a second here. This is as dirty as it can possibly get. So let's just keep this under the rug here. We'll accept the penalty. You'll look like $1 million, Roger Goodell. You'll also look like you might have to take some heat, but you'll look like a savior to Patriots fans when you take the punishment for Tom Brady from 4 games down to 2 games.
Yeah.
It's such a sticky, dirty little thing here.
It's a nasty little thing that they're playing right now. And it all is, and as Kraft also mentioned, and he was adamant about it. We're still talking 5 months later about the pressure or lack of in the footballs. We're still going through this. Let's just have this whole rhetoric, as he put it, put to rest from this point on.
So if I was a Patriot fan, though, I would be livid because as a fan of football, I still think, and you and I both agree, that the Wells investigation, the Wells report, pinned nothing on the Patriots. But then at the same time, I'm hearing reports that the Rooneys, I think Rooneys talked to the Krafts, the Rooneys own the Pittsburgh Steelers, saying, "Come on. Granted, there's not this concrete evidence, but we have text messages with your guys calling each other the deflator and Tom Brady and the footballs and this and that. Come on, you look guilty. Stop this fighting thing and just take it."
Yeah.
Because it's making the rest of us look like idiots. And you said earlier today, before the show even started, I just miss football. I miss talking. I don't like talking about all this extracurricular crap. I just miss talking about football and what football means and the X's and O's and the draft picks and the signees and this and that.
We do talk about that kind of stuff, and it's an amazing thing. But for him to incur the biggest fine in NFL history. $1 million for not enough air in footballs is pretty hard to believe. So I think Goodell has really, he's done it again.
Well, he has done it again, but it's not like this is their first rodeo. They've been in trouble before. Uh-oh. The sign for wishing the Timberwolves good luck and happy birthday, Kevin Garnett from 105 The Ticket, has moved, and we're joined by Sam Ekstrom from Cold Omaha. Sam, where are you guys now?
Hey, guys, we are on the corner of North 7th Street and Hennepin. We're a block or two from Target Center, where hopefully Kat or Okafor will be playing next year, whichever one they decide to pick with that number one pick that they inevitably will get. We just got a friendly visit from the Maryland baseball team. They're playing at Target Field this weekend in the Big Ten baseball tournament. I expressed to them how much we appreciated getting Stephon Diggs in the draft, and they liked that. And they also posed with the sign for us, gave the Wolves a little love, even though they're from Maryland. And we're turning a lot of heads out here, guys. We're getting a lot of honks, some strange glares, but a lot of people pretty receptive.
Well, that was the whole point. And I think that, you know what, the sign is, I think you could probably deem it now a success, major success. And moving it from the overpass to where you guys are right now, I think it was a great move, great strategy by our infield correspondent, Sam Ekstrom. And who else do you have out there?
Vinny.
We have Andrea and Vinny.
Vinny, okay.
From the promotions department. They are doing a great job. I'm kind of documenting the whole thing. You can check it out at 105 The Ticket on Twitter, but they are the boisterous ones, stopping people in their tracks to make them tell us their favorite basketball team and talk hoops with them. So they are doing an awesome job. I'm kind of in the background just taking it all in, but we are right in the middle of all the action here downtown.
Cool. Sam Ekstrom, we really appreciate your citizenship, proud of your Americanism. What do we say? Proud of your citizenship. You're a great American. That's what we say.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff to you, Sam Ekstrom. We'll check in with you again before we get off the radio here at 7 o'clock and see where you guys are. Obviously, the NBA draft lottery tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Cross your fingers, cross your legs, cross your what else can we cross?
You can cross your T's. You can dot your I's.
Yeah, we can do that. Whatever it takes, Minnesota Timberwolves need the number one overall draft pick tonight. Lottery tonight, 7:30 right here on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Thank you, Sam Ekstrom. We'll check in with you again here in just a little bit.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
It's a major success, yep. that banner.
Well, we can't say that yet.
I think it's fair to say.
We have to wait until after 7:30 tonight to see if it actually spread good luck and good cheer around the Twin Cities metro area.
Understood. Okay, but I mean just the attraction that it has drawn.
Okay.
And some attention to detail. Finally,
they're probably rewarded. Just honking because Andrea's...
Well, yeah.
She's quite the attractive.
Absolutely. Lady. Look, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Yes, you are. We have Chris Shad up next, speaking of pigs. Do you know Chris Shad?
Yeah, he's the douchebag that won't bring us hot dogs, and even though he said he would. And then he thinks it's funny. Oh, I'll bring you some...
I'll send you some of the blue ones up from Kansas City.
That have, like, mold on it. No, idiot.
Slappy. Hey, listen, Chris Shad is up next. He's with Cold Omaha. He's one of the writers at 105 The Ticket. He's going to talk the talk about the NBA draft lottery. I think he knows that it's rigged. Why? But we'll find out if he does or he doesn't after this.